Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
We're going to talk about the grace of giving. We're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. We got some wonderful things God's going to do with us today. If you're not standing, please stand with us. We'll read through those verses, and you'll get the responding verses as we go through that particular portion of Scripture. God has some great things He's going to install in our hearts and our lives as we find out about the excellency of giving. First of all, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. But as you abound in everything in faith and in speech and in knowledge and in all diligence and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just come before you today that you're going to show us really what it means to abound not only in grace but in giving. But Lord, some of us, we've declared our own poverty of circumstance. But Lord, somehow through your word of God, you're going to speak to us in such a way that we will be deputized, we will be commissioned to be not only generous givers of resources, but generous givers of ourselves to a lost and dying world. God, help us to come through these scriptures and really find the real heart of the message today, and we'll give you all the glory, all the honor and praise. So we ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. You know, as you look through this particular text of Scripture, it can be a little confusing to some people because I just took a little portion out of it. It says, you might wonder this, is that in the great affliction and the abundance of their poverty abounded in the richness of their liberality. That makes no sense. When you're poor, you're poor. Some of you are not poor, poor, you're po. You can't afford the O-R. You're just plain po. Po folk. See, I heard some people, they used to tell me when they were growing up, they used to have flour soup. I'm going to ask you to show your hands if you had flour soup, but I tell you, there ain't much to it. But you used whatever you had, but I'll tell you what, but those are the type of people the Bible's talking about here that in their poverty, they still wanted to give. And God wants to do something in our hearts today that will bring us across that place where we feel like we can't do it. Well, the corporate world of business and finance, a person would undertake such tactics and marketing strategy would find himself at the head of the unemployment line, if that's the way you did things. Because it doesn't work. In the world's economy, it does not work. The grace is the only reasonable explanation as to why people were struggling financially who would insist on taking on financial needs greater than their own. For all of you that feel like you're too poor to give, this message is for you. For all of you that feel like you're too rich to give, this message is for you. Because some people look at their bank account, even though they've got a lot of resources, oh, if I give that money, I'll have less than I had before. And some of you go online every day and check your bank account. Don't tell me you don't. Yes, you do, because you're concerned. Well, this is to help us. First of all, here's a couple things. Number one, the Bible says this, and Jesus was the one who said it, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And some of you, your heart goes up and down with the stock market. You know, well, whatever. Anyway, number two, learning to be generous with material things is the exercise that produces spiritual growth. It's interesting how that's inserted in Scripture. You may not have caught it, But it really is an exercise in spiritual growth. So my money's an exercise in spiritual growth. Yeah, because you realize that everything you got, God gave it to you. Well, let's jump into scripture. Giving is a matter of heart rather than circumstances. Acts 20, verse 30 says this. Also from among yourselves. Wait a minute. That's not the one I wanted. Because it's the one that where Jesus said, or maybe it's 20, maybe it's 30. It doesn't matter. Anyway, it's where Paul is quoting. He says, and he has, the Lord has said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. That scripture is actually in Acts. You're trying to find out, what is this scripture? And it seems like it comes out of random thinking. And the other part about it, if you search through the Gospels, try to find where Jesus said that. It isn't in there. You're thinking, well, so why would Jesus say it's more blessed to give than to receive? And that's what we're going to unpack for you today as we look at the scripture. Well, the blessing of giving far surpasses the things that we will receive in our life as gifts. Now, I don't know what the culture is now that you make out your wish list and you post it online or Facebook and your friends go buy you the things you want for Christmas. And I've said, where did that come from? I'll tell you where it came from. The same place that selfies came from. Exact same place. That's it. Go stand in the picture. Get a little closer. Here we go. It's all of us on screen. And we are shameless about this thing. It's really interesting, you know. Well, we'll move on a little bit further. It comes to a place where we have to realize that Jesus allows us to become a conduit through which blessings can flow. So when he says it's more blessed to give than to receive, he says, I want to use you as a resource, a way for me to produce or bring blessings to you or that will go through you to someone else. Well, what does that mean? In practicality, it means that trials and afflictions should not prevent us from embracing the opportunity to give. Huh? What does that mean? It means that the scripture was put in the Bible to help us to get over the idea or even the thought process that we just can't afford it. We just can't. I had several testimonies in the last couple of weeks of people that talked to me randomly. I'll just give you one of them real quickly. Lady in our church here, she said, you know, I was at a service a few weeks ago, and this I think it was when I was going over to Dominican Republic, and we took a little offering there at the door, and she only had $5. And the Lord said, give that $5. Now, let me just get a little background on her story. Her story was she was under financial pressure, she didn't have any money, you know, this type of thing, and you know, and I won't give all the details. But it was something to her, but she knew she heard the Lord say, give $5. Her last $5. And you say, oh, that's just, you know, she's a single mom, this type of thing. How would you even think that would be okay? So she does it. She did not make it four steps into the foyer. Someone walks up to her, you know, God laid you on my heart, hands her a little note, and inside this little note is a $20 bill. Now, I don't know whether God would have made the person disappear if she hadn't given the $5. I have no idea. But I will tell you this much. What God does is you try to figure God out. You will never outgive God. He's got the edge. So the interesting thing about it is when we look at our own circumstances to be a measurement of whether or not or how we should give, we'll miss an opportunity for spiritual growth. And that's the real big part of it. The other part of it is joy and giving work hand in hand. God loves a cheerful giver. Now, some of you get all wrinkled up and you come to the offering plate. I sure hope God does something because I don't really want to give this, but I guess I should. Really? I got a word for you. Keep your money. What? I didn't really mean that. No, yes, you did. Unless you're willing to receive healing from that mentality. God doesn't need your money. You need to give. Yeah, he sells little cattle, Thousand Hills, markets up, good, work out great. Okay, when we measure our giving against what we have received from the Lord, we will be free to respond to the obedience and the prompting of the Spirit. Well, our ability to give is driven by our desire to love like Jesus loved us. That is the driving force of giving. We love because he first loved us, and our motivation is beyond the fact of who wouldn't give because of someone who loved us. And while we were yet sinners, the Bible says Christ died for us and gave himself a ransom for us. Is that registered in you? Well, going a little bit further. Before we experienced salvation, Jesus loved us. When you were a renegade, now, my story is pretty simple. At 9 years old, I wasn't into serious crime. I mean, my sister's here. She'll tell you that I wasn't into serious crime. But you know, let me tell you, this is crazy. My other brothers, they got saved later on and this type of thing. But I was so saved and sanctified and this type of thing, or not really saved yet. But I wouldn't do things like gambling and such like this. But I'd front them the money for gambling. I was a loan shark before I got saved. Wow. I needed to get saved. Can you imagine? Bernie Madoff wouldn't have nothing on me, okay? But you know, Jesus loved me. And when I gave my life to Jesus, I realized how much he loved me. Furthermore, the idea Jesus knew we needed him so freely, he gave himself for us. And our ability to respond to those in need is totally rooted in love. And that means this. When we exceed our perceived ability to give, we find the depth of fellowship of ministering to one another. What does that mean? To what your perceived ability to give is, and what God wants to put in your heart, there's a gap. Because you don't know how to give until Jesus shows you how to do it. So, sacrifice and giving allows our heart to expand and to embrace faith on a whole different level. And our first and most important step is that we totally surrender ourselves to the Lord. That's what this scripture is about. The Bible says, before they could really do what they could do, the Word of God says, this is, and, you know, verse 5, and not only as we had hoped, but first they gave themselves to the Lord. You're going to hear that again before I'm done. And then to us, by the will of God. I don't know how many altar calls I've done in my life. I couldn't possibly imagine, but quite a few. But I want you to understand what that means. It means that at that point in your life, you're willing to give everything that you are to Jesus. Now, things are going to come up, and you're going to get diffused and distracted as far as this is concerned. But really, at that particular moment, if you come to this altar, or whether it's in a car, whether it's on a street corner, whether it's on a park bench in a park, but when you meet that place in your heart, we're saying, you know, I'm going to give it all up for Jesus. And then, of course, as time goes on, we kind of quantify that with other things. But today, I want to make it very clear to you, when you give your heart to Jesus, you give him everything. You don't cut a deal. Well, 5,000 people were able to eat because of one person's sacrifice. John chapter 6, verses 1 through 12. I'm going to read through this real quickly. You probably know the story, but I need to use this as a backdrop to what we're going to discuss for the rest of this time. After these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw the signs which he performed and on those who were deceased. And Jesus went up on a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover and the feast of the Jews was near, and Jesus lifted up his eyes, seeing the great multitude coming toward him. He said, Philip, where should we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Let me stop right there. When you get yourself log jammed, or where you find yourself in kind of a situation where you feel like things are crowded on you, don't feel like you are at the end of your rope. Jesus is with you. And so this is coming, you know, and they see there's a need that's it's developing itself out. Jesus knew what he's going to do, but here's what he does. He says, but he said to test him for himself, knew. Verse 7 says, he answered Philip, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them that everyone may have a little. Ever look in your wallet, find out there's not enough, and you're at the checkout stand and there are people behind you? Embarrassing. Awkward. Well, let's go on a little further. Let's go in verse 8. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? I want you to park yourself in that spot. Because every single one of us have reached that place of critical conflict of we say, this is what I have, this is what I need, and the two don't add up. The other thing I want to make you aware of, that this is the gospel, the only gospel, where it even mentions the fact of the lad with the lunch. Interesting. But I want to tell you that's a very, very, very important part of this scripture, of this whole setting, is there's a kid there who has his lunch. Now I guess the practical thing is, well, how did they find out he had a lunch? I think there's a pretty good idea of something that's in our hearts that we need to capture from this young lad. And he may have overheard them, and it may have been his innocence that says, you know, well, I've got some fish and some bread. Will this help? And we'd say no. Just like he says, but what are these, they among so many? I won't ask you to give a raising your hands, but I believe all of us have been to that particular place. I have this, but it isn't nearly enough to supply the need that I have. We almost get discouraged. We kind of get disheartened. Yeah, or we use the terminology, it's not even close to what I really need. Well, back a little bit further and we'll see. So, then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now, there was so much grass in that place, and so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Go on to the last two verses, please. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. That probably, the last scripture will probably, you know, kind of dumbfound you. Say, well, why would you gather up fragments? Just do it again. Do another miracle. I'll help you with that in just a few moments. So here's the deal. All right. Jesus engages his disciples in what led to be experience a miracle of generous giving. And so Jesus will often ask us the question that will require us to admit that we do not have what is needed. He said, that's kind of cruel. No, it isn't. All it does is expose to us how much we need him. That's all it does. He says, so what are you going to do about that, Jim? How's that working for you? And you say, Lord, I don't know. And that's an invitation for him to get involved. But see, the fact of us, sometimes our pride will not let us admit we don't know. And we'll try everything. We'll call dial alone. Hold my title for a week. I'll be back and get it next week. We got all kinds of little ways that we do this, you know. Loan Central and, you know, 38% interest and all that kind of stuff. Y'all, don't look at me like you've never done that. Yes, you have. Well, I'm going to leave it alone because it's marinating. So Jesus knows what can be done. And we must be willing to fully engage ourselves in allowing our faith to be tested. So the young lad had lunch. He was willing to share it with, is the key part of this whole thing, and a key part of generous giving. He says, here you go. Do you know what just happened? This kid gave away his lunch. Now he has nothing. And here's what the enemy will tell you. Once you've given us, now you don't have that anymore. Now what are you going to do? All you've done is you've set yourself up for a miracle of what God can do. So, they take this particular thing, and we must be willing to give up what we have to allow God to work. We must be willing to release our rights to what we have and place it into the hands of the Lord. I thought, you know, the Lord gave me this practical illustration of what we're going to do. So I need 20 people to stand up. Just 20 people. Just 20. Just stand up. Okay, that's about 20. Okay. Ushers, I want you to give each one of those envelopes. And when you run out of envelopes, that's all I got. Give every one of them an envelope. Do it quickly. I need to do it quick. And once you get your envelope, you can sit down. Share the wealth on that side, too, because I didn't get my envelope. Good. Don't open it. Once you get it, sit down. First of all, how many of you knew you were going to get an envelope when you got here? None of you. Because I didn't know until I got to my office this morning. So there you go. But this is going to be an illustration for you to see what God does through something that was given to you that you get to give to somebody else. Amen. To prove to you that everything, that the value that you have was given to you. Inside that envelope is some money. Not a whole lot of money. But what you get to do this week is you need to find somebody, and the only thing you get to tell them is that you give it to them. It could be somebody in a grocery line, they don't have enough money. It could be somebody you see on the streets, this type of thing. But you're going to say, well, why are you giving this to me? Because God loves you. Because that's how you got your stuff, because God loved you. Before you did, you don't have to do anything right. But it's because God loves you. But I got to give you the backstory. This is hilarious. I'm at the Dollar Tree yesterday. I know, I go to the Dollar Tree. Just crucify me. Okay. And there's this lady in the line. There's always a lady in the line. And she's up there. We're at the Dollar Tree. She's got this basket full of stuff. And she's counting out pennies and nickels and quarters and such like this. And I'm on a mission. I need to get somewhere, right? And so I get this thing in my mind. I got to get rid of this lady. So I'm gonna, whatever her bill is, it couldn't be much in the Dollar Tree, right? So I got all, help me, Jesus. So I said, Lord, level. Yeah, this before I even had this other illustration. And so I said, I'm gonna get in my wallet, get this lady get on this line so I can get my stuff in the Jesus name. I get ready to do this. Then all of a sudden she reaches it in her purse and she pulls out a wad of money. I wanted to slap her. I didn't think she had any money. The woman got bank. But she's up here messing with me. I'm still saved. I didn't hit her. You say, how does that fit into the story? Well, it fits in the story that sometimes we don't know. And so we get our idea of how what's going to fix something. We have to be really directed by the Spirit of God what needs to happen. Don't let impatience or anything get you off track of what God wants to do. And I want to say for those who receive this envelope, this is what your assignment is. You're going to find somebody, and God will say, this is the one. And you get to sow into their life. The way God sowed into yours, I guarantee you, you're going to have a testimony. Because that's what God does. Let me go on a little bit further. So we must be willing to release all rights to what we have and place it into the hands of the Lord. The money in that envelope is not yours. It belongs to the Lord, but God placed it in your hands for you to be his agent to place it in someone else's. And that's going to be easy for you to do because it didn't cost you nothing. Amen. Well, this is you feeling really good. Ooh, yeah, I can't wait to find somebody. But then when the Holy Spirit says, now I want you to replace it with your money and do the same thing. You see what I mean? All of a sudden, it gives a little bit of shift. But then the difference between there and your heart is the place where you realize that, oh, that's right. And now it's really not giving until it cost you something. Woo! Somebody said, I hope it ain't a $100 bill. Jesus, help me. Well, it's not, so don't worry about it. By the way, last week when I did this thing and I kind of shortchanged Ivy, which was terrible, I felt horrible about it. I tried to find her, give her money back. Somebody meets me at the door and puts $100 in my hand and says, you know, I don't want any change. Keep the whole $100. And I had joy for a minute, and God says, it ain't for you. I'm thinking, whatever. I didn't keep it 2 days, and God says, that's who's supposed to have it. All you are is a conduit. And once you figure that out, God can really bless your life. Got to accelerate this a little bit because we're going to come to a real good conclusion for us. So we must be willing to, and here's the other part, is that the little boy that's there, see his name anywhere? Call it anonymous. You'll notice there are no names on these pews. There are no names on chairs in the balcony, on the walls, plaques that are so-and-so, they just gave some. If you think you're going to give us some money and we're going to put your name on something, keep your money. Keep it. This is God's thing. And all glory belongs to him. Yeah, come on. Now, let me show you something. This is what got me this morning that kind of pushed me over the edge. I read through Proverbs, you know, every month. And Proverbs 13:7, today's 13th, verse 7 says, there is one who makes himself rich, yet has nothing. And the one who makes himself poor, yet has great riches. That's the Bible. There's one who makes himself rich and has nothing. I don't care how much money you have, you don't have anything. But when you make yourself poor, this is the one who's got everything. Because you're realizing that God is the one who's making and negotiating the deals, and that's what makes all the impact in our lives. Let me just get through this quickly and we'll be done. Well, the young lad, he's willing to share his lunch, and he does this particular thing, and it produces a miracle. Are you okay with that? Well, here's what it means. We must be willing to give what we have to Jesus and not be overwhelmed by the need. I know oftentimes we have opportunities to give to certain things, but you figure, well, what difference is it going to make? In your heart, it'll make a tremendous difference. It's about your heart that God wants to change. So generous giving begins with thanksgiving for what we have been given by God. The blessing of the Lord rests upon those who are totally given over to him. And the young lad made a choice to get involved by offering all that he had to the Lord. Do you see the illustration here? Well, then he gets his disciples involved. Jesus gets the disciples involved. And you know, and I have tried everything within me to try to imagine how that worked. And I've come up with a blank. Has it worked for you? How do you get 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, and how do you... It's not working for me. And baskets appear out of nowhere. I mean, who's going to bring that many baskets? I don't know. But I know it happened. See, I want you to get you past the place of trying to figure it out and be obedient to what God has told you to do. The Bible says his ways are past finding out. And that's what we have to be willing to get ourselves subscribed to. Well, so let me tell you quickly about the fragments. So after everybody's had lunch, the Lord makes his commandment. He says, gather the fragments and nothing be lost. Jesus, you can do a miracle tomorrow. I believe the fragments that were left over were a testimony to the people that were there of God's abundant provision. Here's another little point the Lord gave me. You need to be willing to live off the fragments of what's left over. That means you give first to God, and whatever's left over, then that's what you live on. Because God desires to be first. Last little illustration, you'll find this in the Old Testament. And it was kind of interesting to me to find an illustration of this in the Old Testament, but it's there. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse, just two verses. God has always been a God of generosity. Chapter 4, verses 42 and 4 through 44. Then a man came from Baal Salisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits. Note that. 20 loaves of barley bread and newly ripened grain in his knapsack. And he said, give it to the people that they may eat. Now stop right there for a moment. I thought this is for me. No, you're going to be the person who contracts this. Give it to the people they may eat. God knew the provision. So go on to verse 43, which is interesting. And 44, okay. But his servant said, what? Shall I set this before 100 men? And he said again, give it to the people that they may eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left over. See, your perspective on what you see and God's perspective are totally different. You say, well, how's this thing going to work out? That's not your job. You do what God tells you to do, and he will furnish the increase. See, we're so busy trying to do God's business, and we won't, or trying to figure things out. God says, I want you to just do the business. And so verse 44, it says, so they set it before them. They ate and had some left over according to the word of the Lord. We come to a close. Here's some things I think will be helpful for all of us. We must be ready to respond to the Lord in obedience whenever he asks us. Somebody say amen. Amen. And I remember this thing. It was Arthur Katz. It was 1970. I was up in Canada. And the quote I will never forget is this. God has called us to inconvenience. Isn't that cheerful? When I say inconvenience, I mean the fact where it isn't a natural process for us. It'll take a little bit of stretching inside of our hearts, inside of our lives, but that's what God has called us to. And it really means this in a practical sense. We must be ready to respond to this. Elijah was a man of God, was given the provisions. He quickly discovered that what he received was not for himself. What you have, you say, well, you just want me to give everything away. Well, if you got an attitude like that, yeah, I want you to give it away. Go ahead. Or do you realize, oh, that's right, God owns it all. I'm just a steward. The need to obey the command to give away what he may have thought was for himself. And see, that's the part where we get kind of jammed up. Someone arrives with this stuff, they give it to us, and immediately we want to hold on to it. Not so fast. Elijah had to listen to what he was told and not do what he perceived. Well, Jesus wants our faith to go beyond what we see in natural giving and what we see as being insufficient becomes more than enough to follow through with obedience. Here's the last little thought we have. As believers, we must seek to abound in the grace of giving. Now, notice the word grace is an amazing word. By grace, we've been saved through faith. It's grace of the Lord. His grace, mercy is renewed every morning. It's something that you'll never run out of because God gives us too liberally. Here's the things that it goes with. It will go against the desires of our flesh. It's not an easy transition. How about this? It'll bring joy to us and those around us. Now, that kind of counteracts that. Because when you become a joyful, cheerful giver, and just get away from money at this point, of your time and resources, there's no greater joy than that. What about this? It will promote spiritual growth. I've said that three times today, and that's really where we're at with this whole thing. You will not grow spiritually until you master the whole idea or get to the place where you're willing just to surrender that part of your heart. It will bring maturity to your faith. Absolutely. It will bring, you'll become an ambassador of grace and mercy. But the last thing is, it will bring us peace and freedom in the spirit. What I have to say as we close today is, it's so important that out of that scripture text, it keeps resonating in my spirit. As they were doing certain things, before they could really finish the whole idea of giving, the Bible says they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us. I want to give you an opportunity. And some of you are sitting in this room today, you haven't given yourself to Jesus. It's nice you're a generous person in general, just giving resources. But I'll tell you what, it doesn't account to really anything significant until you've really given yourself to the Lord. There are people that will raise millions of dollars over the next few weeks and months to take care of poor children and take care of buy Christmas presents and all kind of things around the world because this is the time of giving, Thanksgiving, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't belittle that, but for you that are in this room, I want to give you an opportunity for it will count unto you as a grace of maturity in your life with Jesus that you first give yourself to the Lord. Let's pray. Jesus, I really am revisiting that place of this young lad. I don't know how he got the attention of the disciples. But I thank God that the disciple wasn't one that kind of brushed him off and says, hey, little kid, get out of here. We had a big need here. Take your little fish and take your little bread and go home. Enjoy your lunch. But Lord, somehow you put it in their spirit to take what he had and bring it before Jesus. Even though the skepticism was there, what's this among so many? But still you made Jesus aware of that. I don't know how the conversation went, but somehow, Lord, you took it and blessed it. There are people sitting in this room that have wanted you in their lives for a long, long time. And the very first step for them today is to give themselves 100% to you. And once that's complete, Jesus, all the other things will fall in place and they can have a relationship with you like none other. Holy Spirit, fall upon them today. With every head bowed, with every eye closed, there's something in my spirit today that I just sense there are people here today that says, you know what? I really want to give myself to Jesus. I really do. It's not about the money thing. There's just an emptiness in my heart and I know that he's the only person that can fill it. And I need to tell you, you're absolutely right. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you today, or if it's for you today where you've wandered away from the Lord and said, you know what? I'm going down the wrong road. I need to come to the place where Jesus is. I give myself to him. If that's you, I want you to be just real bold and just lift your hand and say, yeah, that's me. That's me. Lift it up high where I can see it. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else say, yeah, that's me.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.